Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Rob, to his credit, like, he did ask. He was like, can I just go and pick up my daughter? I totally get it. And I said, yes, two things. One, after your work is done. Two.
I'm sitting there at my rehearsal dinner. I got Father Harlan, an Episcopal priest, and my 80-year-old mother sitting with me. And Tommy comes over and says, you effing guys. And I said, Tommy, I'd like you to meet Father Harlan, the Episcopal priest, and my mom. Oh, and he puts his hand on the priest's shoulders and goes, oh, I'm sorry, Father. Jesus Christ, I had no idea.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you, boys, for minding the store for me while I played in the Cocoonville Invitational Golf Tournament over the weekend.
You are welcome, but I will say this. You were missed. You were absolutely missed.
I missed you guys.
Oh, my God. Can you believe it?
I don't mind a week of vacay with the family. I don't think about you two very often. When I am with my guys on the golf course, by the time, you know, Thursday and Friday and Wednesday, I was ready. I'm ready to get back into a routine. Here's what I felt. This tournament, golf tournament, is so all encompassing that I felt as though I was not connected. And that is not that I realized that doing this show every day connects me to the world around me. And it's not a good time not to be connected, because you kind of like to know the very latest and what's going on. Mm. And so I felt disconnected that, and also because of the nuances of the golf tournament, I couldn't come in and share some of the moments that I have with you guys. I will say that to an individual, we had, let me see, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. 4 days of golf. Mm. And, you know, and 2, 4, 6 other teams, you know, that I mean, 6 guys that I ended up, and 8, if you count the guys that I played a practice round with, and to an individual, not an a-hole. Mm. Really? I wanted,
but are the other people, people saying the same thing?
Yeah.
Oh man.
And it was
I was able to use, there's another radio guy, my buddy Mark, right, who, by the way, is a very popular sports talk guy down here in Florida. Does a show called Miller and Moulton that's on down here in Fort Myers. And Mark Mark and I traded barbs a little bit, but it was super fun.
Okay.
And it was good. I was able to use the Don Geronimo, Larry Lujack line on him when there were about 8 people around, where, you know, said, well, you guys should do a, and I modified the line, said, you guys should do a show together. And I'm walking off the tee. I said, well, the eagle doesn't play with flies. But anyway, that was,
Super jock. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. I've never discounted the fact that it was one of those, but the idea of playing with him against us in one of the teams was a joy. And the whole event was a joy. And my partner, Oli, was a joy, too. It was fantastic. I mean, it was fantastic. But here's the thing. It was there's one name out of all the guys I played golf with that comes to the forefront that I thought of, Rob Spiewak, immediately.
Why?
What are you playing? Can you turn that up, please?
Then it started.
I swear to God, these are the moments that you and I... That's when McCaddy have just a strange
connection
of community.
Well, everybody loves Dean Martin, right?
There was a guy, one of the teammates, but it went named down the middle. Bing.
Get out! Mm.
I am not. I am telling you the truth.
Wow!
And I got obsessed with it. So
did he beat his kids
and
too?
So, Rob,
did he eat vanilla ice cream?
right after he announced, "Hi, this is hi, I'm Bing," and I went, "Hey, you know, there's a lot of alcohol coursing through the veins, so I didn't even hesitate. Hey, boo. Oranges are different, Nathaniel. Just like Hope and Crosby." The guy's kind of looking at me.
Can you estimate his age? How old is this guy named Bing?
He's that old, like we all are.
And no one calls him.
You know?
No, you're not old. They're old.
No, the guy I played with was young, comparatively.
Right. With the name Bing?
No, Bing was older.
Yeah,
that's not but Oli's not old.
No,
53. Yeah. Oli's 53. The only reason Oli gets to play is these things. He's just fabulously wealthy. But anyway,
a better life for all of us.
But a good guy, and man,
hey,
did we
save
have
some
a,
for dad now.
Hey, how you doing? And I couldn't help it. I swear to God, I had a weird mental breakdown that every time I'd see him, I said hi to this guy 60 times because I'm like, bing, how you doing?
If you had a couple tomato martinis first thing in the morning, I bet you're finding ways to say hi to this guy.
Oh, absolutely. And all right. So when you play in one of these events,
right,
there are lots of weights. You're waiting for people to hit. The tournament takes a lot of time to play these little 9-hole matches. And there are jokes that are exchanged during this. I was the teller of a few jokes. I was the recipient of a few jokes. I'm trying to think if there are any that I can tell on this particular show.
Now, this is a little shocking. It's a little shocking because you are not really a joke teller.
I'm a terrible joke teller. That's why I get nervous. I've got anxiety right now.
You know dirty jokes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the funniest one that was told to me, I probably can't tell. I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it because you're going to bleep it out.
Okay. This is perfect.
It's also being streamed live. It's being streamed live.
The guy, what's that?
It's being streamed live.
Okay.
There's no going back from
that. Well, now, what are you doing to me here? What are you doing?
No, I think what he's saying is it's probably a dirty word and not a dirty concept.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a dirty word.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's fine. Yeah. I'm just letting you know.
I'll give you the joke.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to tell
this is a perfect Buddy Hackett setup.
So this guy that tells this joke, and he said, you probably tell this on your show.
Okay.
And I said, you know what? I probably can't because of I'd have to bleep it out, but I'll tell it anyway.
Okay.
Because it made me laugh. I hope I don't blow it.
Okay.
All right. So, let me see. Rob Spiewak, where are you from?
I'm from Washington, D.C.
Oh, why don't you say Leesburg?
Okay, I'm from Leesburg.
It's ruined already.
You mallet head. Why don't you narrow it a little bit?
Okay,
where are you from?
I'm from Leesburg.
Oh, I knew a guy from Leesburg, a really good guy from Leesburg. As a matter of fact, we played golf together, and we were at a country club, and the rain came in, and we had a rain delay, and we went inside. And we went inside with this guy from Leesburg. And I said to the guy from Leesburg, I said, listen, to pass the time, why don't we play 20 questions? And the guy from Leesburg said, well, what's 20 questions? He said, well, I'm going to write down an item on a piece of paper. And then you get to ask 20 yes or no questions. And then you try to guess what it is. And there were a couple of people that were playing as well. And so I write down, by the way, this is 75-year-old.
Okay, all right.
This joke. So he writes down on the piece of paper, moose. And so he writes it down on a piece of paper and said, all right, now here it is.
Tony, we're going to have to bleep moose.
Yeah.
And so.
How you doing, Mads?
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm still affected by it. My judgment is skewed. I've been away for a while.
You're disconnected.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you're back.
I'm disconnected. But
this is the real world.
This was teeth showing. So he writes down.
No one named Bing here.
No. He writes down the moose thing.
Right.
Moose.
Yes,
thing.
Yes.
So I said, all right, your turn. All right. And the guy from Leesburg says, well, can I see it? I said, yes. Okay. And the guy thinks for a while. He says, second question, the guy says, can I eat it? And I suppose. And the guy from Leesburg says, okay, I can see it. I can eat it. Is it moose? I'm sorry. That's it. Yeah, there's the, it's a terrible
look. It's a 75-year-old guy's joke.
You're going to be old too. I thought it was funny.
I loved it.
See, the idea, here's where I'm a bad joke.
Because we do a lot of that in Leesburg.
It's basically alienating the entire city.
Right. That's a marvelous thing.
It was told. Oh, because here's where I did a bad job. I set it up as a joke. Mm-hmm. This guy didn't set it up as a joke.
Oh, he deadpanned.
He set it up like he really knew a guy in this particular circumstance from Baltimore.
Oh, I got it.
So, Greg, if you're listening, I'm going to tell you salute to you. Yes. That was a wonderful.
It was kind of woven into conversation. Well, that's the magic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and they're all a little ribald. I got a few of them in my brain right now.
Maybe after the show.
Did you do in the tournament?
I came in second in our flight, so we weren't in the hunt.
Oh,
so it was.
But you didn't play embarrassingly.
The guy that told the joke ended up winning the flight, and then a guy that I know very vaguely, I don't even know who his partner was because they were in a different flight, won the whole thing. But it's a lot.
Was it the same guy?
Practice round on Wednesday, two matches on Thursday, two matches on Friday, two matches on Saturday with the shootout for the winners of the flight. And going almost till dark.
Oh yeah.
And then they get the winner. So that's what. And my ankle hurts. So
is it the highest you've ever placed?
No, I won them. I won one of them. Bings won one of those things.
In the past decade?
2004, same year the Red Sox won the World Series. Mm. Well, played with one of my buddies, Randall, and I won something.
I remember
Randall,
him, yeah.
Randall, yeah, another one of my dear friends who's estranged from me right now. Yeah. Because he ended up befriending, making friends again with a guy that screwed me over. Yes, sirree. So I said, he's dead to me. That's the way friendship works sometimes. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's
bad,
like Bing would say. Hey, Bing. Oh, by the way, Bing was a 4 handicapper, so he hit the ball a mile and a half. It was fun to watch. Hey, Bing. I wonder if he got tired of me saying that occasionally.
I bet if you're a 4 handicap and you're playing in that tournament, you can take a lot of guff and it doesn't bother you.
Yeah, you're like,
he's unfazed.
Yeah.
Usually the guys that are like that have some. This is what I've found. The guys that are really, 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 really good usually have a background in some sort of athletics, like this guy did.
Okay.
This guy was a college basketball player.
Oh, wow.
And,
Division 1?
Telling college, I think it was Ice. D1. Yeah, I think he was D1. So,
and I wish I was
other
athletic.
Than that. It was a good time. There were no incidents.
Good.
The alcohol while flowing was under control.
No replacement parts needed to be ordered for golf carts?
No replacement parts. Couple of moments that I had, but overall, my partner was simply too cool a guy.
That's great.
So unflappable that it was just really amazing. And he weighs 168 pounds. He is a little man.
Good for
him.
And
he smashes the ball. He really, really does. And
he's 6 foot seven?
He's 6 foot seven. And, the only thing that, and now I'm telling the truth.
Okay.
The only thing that was a tad disconcerting, being an older person, is that when you are imbibing till the wee hours and you don't do it very often, and then you are getting up super early to go out and do something physical, sometimes your regular pattern of behavior can be a tad disrupted. And so when you're in the middle of playing golf, you know, you would have a level of urgency that would normally be reserved for. Yeah, you'd be ready for it.
Right.
So I believe on the very first day, might have been the second day of the tournament, I informed my partner, Oli, that I had something to check on at the house. Because I had to come all the way back to my house.
You were worried about
taking care of business every day.
So you made it all the way to the course, and then you still had to come back because you were worried about the printer?
Played 9 holes. At the end of the nine holes. And by the way, the last hole where it was just like, good shot.
Yeah. Talk about your last hole.
And then, because really it's not a slow process. It's not a fast process.
No, it's a build.
I'm not like my, my wife, the rabbit, that can just, go into the bathroom and come back. I mean, quite often I'll look at her and say, you're done? And she goes, yeah. I said, okay. I don't understand it. But that other than that, I'm trying to think of anything that was really bad about it. And you know, it was fun. It was fun.
I have a question to ask Larry.
You know, the big guy that I told you about.
Yeah,
the cable
his
guy.
His company, flooring guy.
Okay.
So. He sponsored a Friday all day a Tito's bar.
Good guy.
At the end of the evening, I was drinking Tito's and lemonade, having a little putting contest.
A flooring company sponsored the bar?
All day. From the morning all the way through the evening. It was fantastic.
Drink till you're on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. Drink four of these and see if you can hold the floor.
Yeah, once again, I was standing in front of the young lady that was pouring, and you know, she was pouring me a little Bloody Mary, and I think that once she got done doing it, I looked at it and pointed at it, and I went, really? Tito's again.
When you have an event like this, there's probably like an opening and a closing ceremony, I'm guessing, like for awards, right? How painfully jive is the closing?
Well, you'd have to stay for it.
Well, there you go.
See, so when you're coming in second and you have no chance of being in the show, I hope they played well, but I'm not the guy that goes out there with the guy. I'm sorry.
I thought perhaps you would be a
good sport.
You know, give a punch to the shoulder.
The ball's tired. We want a couch or a bed. That's it at the end of this. We want OUT. Thank you. Could be the nicest guy in the world.
Sure.
You know, we spoke to each other, said, hey, thank you. Bye. Bye. That's it. You're ready to go.
Yeah. Did they win any cash?
Stacks of D's, hot cash, I'm not sure
about that yet. I don't know. I'll have to wait.
I feel like a financial incentive would be.
Well, the team I bet on, $20 bet on, won their flight, but I think they have to win the whole tournament.
Oh, you have squares for your own tournament?
Yeah.
That's great.
There's wagering everywhere.
Oh, I love
right
that.
Right and left.
Yeah, just like Pete Rose.
Yeah.
Can't bet on a sport you're playing
Bing
on.
Bing didn't win his flight either. Bing was in our flight. Bing and Dave. Bing and
Dave. Is a flight the same thing as a round?
What's that?
A grouping. The flight. I don't know
flight
what the term
is. Okay. You got flights are an invitational canceled. Tournament has a grouping of guys.
Did you say are
that's
canceled?
Exactly what it is. What?
Because of the coronavirus.
Said flights are canceled.
I just
wait, we'll get to that. Mr. Eager. We'll get to that. You're the first one that brought it up. Come on now.
You're right.
No more corona until we start talking.
Yeah. That's right, please. Pony.
No drinking in the morning.
That's right.
Behave yourself.
Maddie.
By the way, you know, you brought that to the studio today.
Yeah.
I hope you're happy if you're infected.
Delighted, especially with him.
Okay, thank you.
And we all love your daughter, but come on. Responsibility.
Have you touched him yet? Have you touched him today?
Well, we just hugged.
Do like they do in that Michelangelo bit right there. Oh, boom. Yeah.
Look at his fever.
See, every time I've gone, you two get closer. It warms my
Can I get some hand sanitizer?
Please, went finger to finger.
Please.
Nice. Yeah. Is there any hand sanitizer in the D.C. area, by the way?
We have here at Podcast Village. Right. We have some,
We made sure to go to the pop-up store that broke out last week.
Yes, on Florida Avenue.
Yeah, coronavirus pop-up.
It's a run by the lady who has the hair weave and extension store
right
that's adjacent.
Door. Yeah.
And you can go there and she says, come by and get all the latest info from the CDC. Also, we have face masks and hand sanitizer at very reasonable prices. And they're not.
It's real hand sanitizer?
They said they made it at the weave store.
Did you see the lady online?
Making Tito's hand sanitizer?
I'm going to discipline myself, and we will get to Corona in just a second here. But what did you see the lady online that made her own hand sanitizer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Homemade.
Mm-hmm.
I guess not difficult to make.
Also, it's not effective.
Because you need to have a 60% alcohol base for hand sanitizer to be effective, and most rail drinks are 40%.
There's so much misinformation out there, Mike.
I have to tell you, it was first time in many, many moons that I've done this, and I had a spectacular time. And
did it re-energize you for the game?
No, it did. It cemented the fact that I have no appreciable talent for this game.
Oh.
Yeah. When you play that much and that many days in a row, you know by the end of it that you're just not the guy. And then you see the guys that are the guys, and they're always going to be the guys. And that's just the way it was. I think I might have reached my ceiling, and that's it. So, that's sad. It's sad because you realize Father Time. I'm more now into watching my kid play baseball, which, by the way, before I left, were you aware of his baseball prowess, that he enjoyed that? I'm now shelling out dollars for my son to be a baseball player.
Oh, no, you didn't. He's back. You didn't inform
us. He's back into it.
No, we heard that you went to a spring training game. That was where you left it. And also, I think the last we really discussed his prowess was your dissatisfaction with T-ball last season.
Okay. I haven't told you. Michael William, who went to the game with me, not this past weekend, but the weekend before.
Right, yes.
And expressed very clearly, in no uncertain terms, they want to play Little League again. I took him to his first Little League game on Thursday night. They had a big gala dinner at the Invitational Tournament. Mm-hmm. We bagged out of that because I'm not going to miss his first Little League game. It doesn't matter what special din-din they're going to serve there. So that was the one break I had in the festivities for this tournament. Took him to his Little League game, and the kid had a...
He's a natural?
Been nicer to him. He is a natural hitter. He is a 100% natural.
Just like his papa. Believe it.
Mm-hmm. You go.
Yeah, you know who else was a natural hitter? Natural Bing Crosby.
Yeah. Oscar. Ba-ba-ba-ba-boo. Ba-da-bee-bee.
Gifted every time.
Natural hitter. No help from me whatsoever. Yeah. This was T-ball, then a year or two, and now he was a coach's pitch. Where they throw either underhanded or overhanded. They switch
to like 95, 98 miles an hour.
Oh, you know, some of these. But this
get
little
that
man.
Get that face mask on. Like the catchers.
This little man can play. This little man can play. And having a blast. And he's already had two games. He'll have them Thursdays and Saturdays. And,
fun.
And then yesterday when I came back from the tournament, I was out at the field for maybe 2 hours, 2.5 hours with him. Throwing baseballs to him and shagging balls. And
oh, you didn't tell us that, though. He does have to, if he throws it, he has an errant throw, he has to run and get it for
right.
you.
He runs and gets it. He does most of the bending and running and chasing.
Well, this is like in Major League Baseball in an effort to speed up the game.
Yes.
Yes,
to make
absolutely.
Him pick the ball
his
up.
Own, his own ball boy.
Exactly.
Yeah, if I had to pick up every ball, it would be a very sad situation. I would be, we'd be out there for 6 hours and not the aforementioned two. But this kid loves it, and he's on the Thunder. That's his team.
Ooh. Oh, that's cool.
Right. It's the Thunder. Thunder!
Do they play music? Walk-up music?
I'd
love that.
At the baseball park where they have all the different fields, they have a series of wonderful concessions available. Hot dogs, hamburgers. Where is my thing? I'm looking. Oh, there it is.
What's that song that has thunder? Like, what's...
Oh, Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
AC/DC.
No, there's another like contemporary pop song.
Oh, well, I don't care about that one because the only one that really matters is... So the contemporary one does nothing compared to that.
You're right. Fair.
All right.
I backtrack.
So the concessions?
They had good condition of hot dogs and hamburgers. Thanks for getting me back on track, Rob. Oh, and the other thing, the tournament's over, and I have liver failure. Thank you very much.
So sorry to hear it.
Thank you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Hey, how's it going? How are you?
Good, how you doing?
You want it?
What class did you say that was?
History.
Yeah. I remember that class. It was, it was just between recess and lunch.
Clark, why don't you go away?
I was just hoping you might give me some insight into the evolution of the market economy in the southern colonies. My contention is that prior to the Revolutionary War, the economic modalities could most aptly be characterized as agrarian pre-capital.
All right, of course that's your contention. You're a first-year grad student. You just got finished reading some Marxian historian, Pete Garrison probably. That's going to last until next year. You're going to be in here regurgitating Gordon Wood. Talking about, you know, the pre-revolutionary utopia and the capital forming effects of military mobilization.
Well, as a matter of fact, I won't because Wood drastically underestimates the impact
of social distinctions predicated upon wealth, especially inherited wealth. You got that from Vickers. Work in Essex County, page 98, right? Yeah, I read that too. Were you going to plagiarize the whole thing for us? Do you have any thoughts of your own on this matter? See, the sad thing about a guy like you is in 50 years, you're gonna start doing some thinking on your own, and you're gonna come up with the fact that there are two certainties in life. One, don't do that. And two, you dropped 150 grand on a f***ing education you could have got for $1.50 in late charges at the public library.
Yeah, but I will have a degree, and you'll be serving my kids fries at a drive-thru on our way to a skiing trip.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but at least I won't be unoriginal.
Why you like me now? My boy's wicked smart.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
That's Good Will Hunting, Matt Damon, one of those great Boston movies. Another Boston movie floating around out there. Little Matt Damon on one, but the one that's new is Mocky Mock. Another Back. Bostonian we had a chance to meet up in Boston. Mark Wahlberg's got a new movie on Netflix.
I watched it's beautiful.
Isn't that a good movie?
I was like, I can't believe this is good.
It's a good movie. I thought it might not be at the very
better
beginning,
than
but
Daddy's
it ended up
Home.
Being good. Yeah, Spencer for whatever.
It's called Spencer. Spencer.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see him in the Robert Urich role.
Spencer Fahal. Live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, is a worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners who are unrivaled in their love and support for their program. If you are a first-timer, sit back, relax, and prepare to be entertained. And for our longtime friends, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for spreading the word every day about TMOS from Marlton, New Jersey to Norman, Oklahoma.
Norman!
Washtenaw, Washington, Eva Beach, Hawaii, or Ava Beach, Hawaii. Mm.
It's Eva, I believe. They've been pronunciator.
Eva. San Juan, Puerto Rico, and San Pedro, Belize. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by our good friends at Third Love, everybody. Third Love, I want to discuss brassieres. May I?
Please.
You see, Third Love's bras are designed to fit you, not the other way around. Their bra styles are designed with measurement data from millions of women and made to fit your life. They have over 80 bra sizes, but they also know that the only size that matters is yours. Did you know that breast shape matters when finding a good fit? Third Love helps you identify your breast size and shape and find styles that fit your body. Plus, straps that won't slip and no itch tagless labels and super thin memory foam cups that mold to your shape. Plus, the perfect fit promise. If after 60 days you don't love it, return it and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. So far, Third Love has donated over $15 million in bras. Carla loves hers and you are going to love your Third Love bra. Third Love knows that there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they are offering our listeners 15% off their first order. Go to thirdlove.com/TMOS right now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/TMOS for 15% off today. And we thank you. All right. Well, we couldn't even get through the first break without bringing it up, but it is the story on everybody's mind, and it has been, and it probably will continue to be for the foreseeable future. The coronavirus outbreak in the United States and around the world that everybody seems to be talking about. I don't know. I put a post up yesterday about the local news and the scare, which, they just don't need to be.
How did they localize it for you? Because there's none in Florida yet, right?
Oh, yeah. There are two deaths.
Okay.
And there are outbreaks around. We have one death right down here. One of them is right down here in my area.
Okay.
So they have it down here, and the hospital is, I could practically walk to it from where I live down here. But at the same time, it's just such a weird cocktail of hype with the media without justification. Now hear me out when I say this. When I say hype without justification, you don't say that coronavirus is sweeping through Southwest Florida when you have just a few cases.
Right.
With that said, you don't do what Kellyanne Conway does by coming on a national talk show and saying it's been contained. So you have misinformation on one side and then misinformation on the other side. And in the middle lies the truth, which is the overwhelming majority of people say this is going to get worse before it gets better. It is in no way contained. But at the same time, I think that there is a desire on the part of local news, certainly down here, and to a certain extent the national news, of a fear-mongering, where you don't need to do that to us. What you do is you tell the truth. And you give the facts as they are. You don't have graphics. It's just We are so consumed by our BS in this country. And if you don't think that this administration is putting out these containment statements because they're trying to, in this feeble way, cover their ass politically, right. It's exactly what they're doing. And it's the Republicans, Democrats, it won't matter. That will not wash. That will bury them. If you want to talk about the one thing I think that will absolutely bury this administration, it's if they continue on the path of sending out the ass clowns that have no business being out there and not the doctors and scientists and shutting up about what their theories are. Donald Trump knows absolutely nothing about medical science, and he should put all these brilliant men that are standing next to him at the CDC in charge of this thing and not do that. The media, on the other hand, has no business saying things like sweeping through an area where they have no evidence that it's sweeping through an area yet. So we don't know. But the key to this is to get out in front of it and to handle it and be prepared, especially with things like test kits and protocols, so that when you have to shut down schools or shut down airports, or certainly something this is where I'll land on the side of panic, shutting down cruise ships.
Please.
These petri dishes. By the way, if you're going on a cruise, knock yourself out. But I would no more be getting on a cruise ship right now to save my ass. I wouldn't
add enough when we're not in the middle of a pandemic. You're risking exactly. When the world is in perfect health, you're still right. taking a risk if you do this.
Now, Oscar wanted to talk about this because you were talking to your dad, who's down in Bolivia right now,
yes.
assisting them with their preparations yes. for this. And it really the question I'll start, and you can go wherever you want yes. on this, Oscar. But the question I'll start. It really is on the institutional level with governments and agencies. It really is all about preparedness, isn't it?
Yeah,
isn't
that the ball game? Without the risk of being, repetitive, and because we've been talking about this at length at certain points, I think to bring you up to speed, Mike, and like our overall viewpoint, and by I mean our just like my family's, what my father has imparted on us. What if you look at the science, the real data, and you take politics out of it, that this is going to be a new normal as far as the way that we respond to people that contract coronavirus. I think we're all going to be touched by it one way or another. That if we look through a lens of this is a version of the flu that they're still trying to get a hold of, and there's a lot of unknowns here. But what we do know that is if you're not in this, like, what I would say, risk area where you're above 50, you have respiratory issues, you have pre-existing, I mean, that idea that's deadly, that's scary, right? Especially for the elderly. We all have parents, we have colleagues, you might be listening to this, you might fall into that that space. Yeah, that's Mike. Terrifying.
Mike.
And it would be irresponsible for people to say, "Don't let's not take care of that that subset of the population." Mm-hmm. So stay at home if you're sick. But if you're in your
20s, Mike, can I interrupt for a yes. second? I took Michael to breakfast Sunday yes. morning, and we went to this joint that's literally next to an assisted living facility.
Oh God!
And there was a man in there, and the first sneeze, everybody stared. The second sneeze. Everybody stared annoyingly. Mm-hmm. The third sneeze was just like, I didn't want to say it. I was so tempted, though, just to look over and go, really?
Ah!
Really, old man? You can't get your shit together and do that outside if you're going to have a sneezing jag into your pancakes, you old phoebe with whatever. He's terrifying everybody in the restaurant. That's how panicked we are as a society.
Everyone in the restaurant silently agreed to, we need to put him down.
But Mike, what I'm saying is I believe that is our responsibility for the small influence and scope we have in the media landscape to try to normalize this and educate as many people as possible for at least for their daily lives to say, look, if you just look at the science, this is something we will get over sooner than later. There are certain precautions you can take, but be prepared for this to touch everyone's life in one way or another. And if you know someone or someone gets touched by this, do not make them the social pariah.
No.
And the majority of people that are touched by this, we may not even show severe symptoms, especially the young. Mm-hmm. Because if you're in your 20s or younger, or even 30s, you may not know you have it.
Right.
So
is that a good adjustment? Maddie told me to adjust my camera while
a little more headroom, please. Just a little more. Right, thank you. So that those are the facts, right? Now, what's scary is this, Mike, is that because we live in a ratings, eyeballs, page views driven society,
more so than ever,
I could see there being pressure, like a group thing, to say, "Oh, it's a ratings war. It's a money grab." And you politicize this to breaking news, breaking news, breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. And if you don't know any better and you don't have the time to actually do some research and look for independent sources to see how bad is this, you would be terrified.
Here's the thing about liars. And we've all been around liars. Right?
Tony.
We've all been around liars.
Yep.
How much of this? And I don't give a damn if anybody starts slamming me politically. When Donald Trump comes out at the CDC and says, you know, test kits are available, that anyone that needs a test kit can get them. Well, that's not true.
Right.
When he's doing that, how much of that is, and then he's talking about the numbers. This man, it's twofold. Is this man, is it the basic inability to just give somebody a straight answer, or is this truly calculated on a political level where he perceives the worse this virus is, the worse it is for his administration?
Or does he truly not understand what's going on?
That might be a third option too.
It's effing hard, and I don't mean any disrespect towards you, Mike. I think that's a valid question. Mm-hmm. I think that if I was going to take the lesser of the greater, I guess the lesser of two evils, I'd rather him come out and blatantly lie to us and try to keep some people calm. They come out and say that we have a big problem and continue to perpetuate all
it
these
does,
issues.
He doesn't have to do either.
He does not have to do either.
He can come out. He's not. His reputation.
He's trying
and his credibility
to save
is
the
so
hit.
Shot right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I'm saying that for me to even consider him.
He does so in a ham. If he came out and he skillfully diminished the panic.
Yes.
You know, if he did it with any degree of competency, I could completely agree with you. But no, instead he comes out and he goes, perfect, beautiful, we're doing...
He creates more tension. More tension,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
Here's the thing, Oscar. I think that the guys that are in the true parts of this equation that mm-hmm. are part of government and institutions that take care of this... go beyond politics. These guys stay in their jobs. Yeah. It's not necessarily political appointment. Yeah. I watched Ben Carson, all right, yesterday, who's out front talking about, who is a medical doctor.
Has he fixed housing and urban development and now he can do this now?
If he is not taking like five Xanaxes before he goes on the news shows,
well,
I would be
been like that.
Very so. It's stunning. It's this.
Ben Carson, who, by the way, the first time before he even got into politics, I mean, read his book,
yeah,
saw the movie Idol. I was at something hands or when he fixed the babies,
right?
Healing hands, or something like that.
I was like, oh my god, this guy's running for president, mm-hmm. holy ass! And then you hear him speak, and you're like, dude. Like, take some, like, speech less. Go to a Toastmasters if they still have them. Something.
Yeah, Toastmasters.
Do something.
It is this cocktail of, and listen, I think that I, too, would love to have a middle ground on this. I think at the far end, at least what I consider mm-hmm. the far end of media, was this local news where I almost took my little recorder and recorded this local reporter who had this whining delivery that's just like, but we don't know. And it's just, okay, you don't need to do it that way. I just want facts. And I'm having a really tough time deciphering mm-hmm. what is exactly what, other than, you know what I've gotten? The only thing I've gotten, wash your hands.
That's it.
Wash your hands regularly. That's
well, we are a simplistic keyword. People, and we like that. We like that
but
solution.
People still don't do it.
No.
You ever watch? You ever go to the pisser at a stadium or something or at a concert and see the average number of guys that actually really wash their the pigs that go out and and then just walk through the door? I mean, come on.
You'd be happy to hear that some experts are saying right now that the way that people are like scrubbing down for surgery after every meal or before every meal or after every instance of contact, that they believe years from now, like, and look, I think we're going to have looking in a couple months here, and you'll see like this response kick in, if not sooner, that it'll be like, oh, it was like we get somewhere quick, right?
But you're right.
But as far as the washing goes, I go to restroom. I'm still living my life. I'm at dinner the other night. I walk in and some guy is scrubbing down for surgery. And the next guy comes in, scrubs down for surgery. By that, I mean, that's like a full wall. I'm like, this should be happening anyways.
They're doing wrists too.
This is right.
You know what? It's and wouldn't that be ultimately the game changer if everybody did it? And I think, and by the way, accessibility restaurants to good hot water distribution, because the heat of that is also a good thing to have. But really, someone said, well, why soap? Why? I read an article today. Why? It's in the news today. I'll have it about soap and the difference between soap and water and why you want soap. There's a great answer for that. And you know what? If we become a little more educated out of all this on personal hygiene and how you are supposed to do that, and it is your hands, that's the transmission, is to get the hands in the face. But boy, oh boy, you know, I hope you're right about this. But the idea of anyone coming out and saying that this is contained when now it is being labeled in the United States by news sources as a pandemic,
right,
which it is, because now that you have community transmission and they don't know where it's coming from. And I hope Oscar's right, because I would like to think that that would be, you know, the other optimistic thing. If the Chinese cases are actually if they're going down now, the cases over there, because they've taken drastic measures, I'm all for that too.
But what,
it is a scary
what's
scary
going on
time.
The golf course, you guys, like the elbow,
no, I probably shook hands. I probably shook hands when I shouldn't have, you know. And I did do a lot of hand washing this weekend.
Especially after that second aware of that. After that second visit.
I go home, check the plumbing.
The printer.
The printer's broken.
So, you know, speaking of hitting close to home, we have our own carrier in our midst, and her name is Julia Spiewak. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will get an update on Rob Spiewak's daughter. You know, and by the way, if it was your son, I would know anything there is to know about. I bet we're not talking about a big hand washer there, right?
He loses his way on the way to the bathroom. I don't know where I am. I ended up in the kitchen.
We'll take a break. We'll take a break and find out about Julia and how she's feeling right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, St. Paddy's Day is on the way, and you got a list of things you got to get. Corned beef and cabbage, check. Carrots and potatoes, check. Rye bread and mustard, check. Beer, check, check, check. Now, there's one thing missing off that list, and that's the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. It's an hour of uncensored, unfiltered fun that's even better than your mother's Irish soda bread. So head over to the MikeO'MaraShow.com right now. Click on the Bonus Show banner. Now, let's head back to the pot of gold that's at the end of our rainbow, Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Polly. Rob Spiewak put that over your promo.
I did.
You know, I know you don't like that. So Rob's the one. So I think I would do a promo about how mad you are at Rob putting fart sounds.
I'd like
promo.
That.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Lightstream. How much money are you paying in interest on your credit cards every month? Too much? Too many?
Too many.
Why not consolidate your credit cards into just one payment at a lower fixed rate and start saving money? It's easy with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Rates are as low as 5.95% APR with autopay, so much lower than the national average interest rate of over 20% APR. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience. And that's exactly what they deliver. Check out this actual testimonial. I heard a commercial, checked into a consolidation loan, and just a few hours later, I had my approval and funds ready to be transferred. Awesome. Just for our listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/TMOS. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/TMOS. subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/TMOS for more information. All right, so when I was gone, there was a little health scare among the TMOS faithful.
Yes.
Yes. Right? Well, it was, you know, when you talk about a cruise ship being a petri dish, you know, college is not much better.
Oh, my God.
And luckily, Julia is in a more modern scenario. It was a dorm when I went to VCU. And so everybody touched everything all the time, always. She's in a suite with three other girls, you know, two and two.
Yeah.
And she was scheduled to come home for spring break on Friday, had arranged for a ride from a friend. And so we were all set. I was very excited to see her. It was one of my, I was very, very happy. And then we get a text from her overnight, Thursday going into Friday. She says, I've been throwing up all night and I don't feel well. And my ride is canceled because of all the talk of the coronavirus.
You imagine, Mike, this is how this, and with not enough information out there, like everyone's just scared of anybody that has anything, right?
Yeah,
because they don't know.
Absolutely.
And Rob's poor daughter can't catch a ride from a friend who promised them a ride because their parents won't let their friend take Julia up back up to the DC area because
people are so wonderful. And the timing, nice parents.
And
there.
The timing is just it's way
spring break.
It was spring break.
Spring break forever.
At the same time, it sucks, but one has to realize what would you do in that? And by the way, that ain't just the parents. That's the kid, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Calling the parents. I don't know if I want to. You know, she's throwing up. I'm not. Scared.
And so I was. Darwinism. So pick her up.
And also the thing is that when. I know she's 19 now, and she has been, in my eyes, crazy. You know, so mature for her entire life. But when you get that text that she says, Dad, I'm sick, I'm hurting, I'm alone, and I have a tear in my eye as I'm texting her because you just want to make her feel better and you can't because you're in another city. So I said, don't worry, I will be there as soon as I can. Yes. We'll get you home. And she says, I'm so sorry. I said, don't say a word. I'll just be there as soon as I
poor
can.
Thing.
And Rob, poor to his thing. Credit, like he did ask. He was like, can I just go and pick up my daughter? I totally get it. And I said, yes, two things. One, after your work is done. Two, grab a Telos just in case you can't come back.
And we didn't enter into this lightly. Yeah. We are set up and tested. I could have
there was a contingency, so it was fine.
So go down there.
So after work on Friday, you split and go down.
Get down there. I left at like about 2 o'clock to go get her and get there. And this is where I had a little restored faith in humanity. Is I texted her as I'm coming up to pull up because I don't want to make it a big deal for the transfer. I said, let's just get you in the car.
Also,
and get you
stranger
home.
Danger. You keep walking on a campus.
Yeah, and I don't have my student ID. It's expired 30 years ago.
You look like a predator.
So when I pull up to her residence center, a friend of hers is standing with her, has carried her stuff, and this guy has, you know, walked her down.
Oh, a gentleman caller?
Yes, Zach, a nice guy who looked me right in the eye.
Another good Zach.
Yeah,
there we go.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Spiewak. And I said, nice to meet you too. Thank you for helping Julia. And then Julia said that it turned out her roommate actually went to the store and bought her a blue Gatorade for her request.
That's sweet.
And so they're watching out for her a little bit.
Was this the same roommate that wasn't going to give her a ride home?
No, it's not. That was not a roommate situation. That was another friend situation.
Find out any more about the kid that didn't give her a ride home?
I didn't, as a matter of fact, because I was so focused on what was going on. But it's not one I knew.
Was Zach a tall fella? Good looking or dumpy? Was it Friendsville or maybe more than Friendsville?
He was wearing corduroy overalls.
I don't know what that means.
He was. They were like Urban Outfitter. He's very Urban Outfittery. Like
that means he's
hip, young,
cool
young,
kid.
Hip. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm, oh, okay. Yeah.
So, and
but
I said,
could it be like an upgrade from Caleb? I always would like. If I'm a dad, I'm like, all right, who are you sleeping with?
See that water bottle? That's an upgrade from Caleb.
Okay.
So,
he didn't like Caleb.
Shots fired.
So get her in the car.
But I mean, that's great that they did that. And the kid. You know,
and
she's terrific.
And I said, how are you doing? And, you know, that really does restore some faith that there's someone looking out for her.
Yep.
And by the time I got there, you know, we had spoken via text throughout the day. She was starting to feel better. I checked her, no fever. And she said, I just feel weak. I'm not hungry, but I haven't thrown up. I said, well, there's a bag there just in case. And then we get to talk. I said, what do you think? Have you been around any sick people? She says, no. And I said, but there's anybody like with any symptoms of any? She says,
you got to be. It's in your mind, I bet. Right? It was in your mind
absolutely.
A little bit.
Well, I mean, when she said she was not feeling well, even though every symptom she had wasn't a coronavirus syndrome.
Right.
Symptom,
right.
Rather.
Matter.
It just had me all flipped out. And then by the time we get her home and she goes from the car to the couch, curls up with a blanket and falls asleep.
Oh, that's the best sleep.
And I, you know what? I just sat there, and this is not creepy, because if you're a parent, you know, you look at your kid asleep and you just say, she's home and she's safe.
Yeah,
and it's okay.
Good daddy. Good daddy.
And Carrie came home that night, and I said, there she is. And she said, yeah, it's awesome. So she gets up on Saturday. She feels fine. And I check her again. No fever, no symptoms. She's got a good appetite. And she says, I wonder. I said, what? She said, I wonder if it was those old chicken strips I ate.
Yeah. There you go.
And I said,
still poisoning. On the SPIWAC health food diet.
We all got to learn.
And I said, it could have been those. She says, or those really nasty bagel chips. I said, what are you doing to yourself?
Well, bagel chips are okay.
But,
right?
I mean, I don't know. She said they were, she said for some reason they were nasty. And also she associated, because that's mostly what she saw when she puked, were pieces of bagel chip. Mm. So anyway,
I would go with the old chicken strip.
I think so too. But I think we can chalk this one up to food poisoning.
Salmonella.
But it was, I mean, that doesn't make it any easier for the fact that she felt so bad. But she's home, and she's safe, and all is well. And,
that's very sweet of you, Mike.
Good for
her. I mean,
I still think it's very nice of you, Chad.
Yeah.
We should avoid public places where you're intermingling with a lot of people, and that's why I'm doing another celebrity auction tonight.
Yes, sir. You got to live your life, Mike.
We'll tell you all about that. Yes.
Are tickets still available?
I don't have enough anxiety to start with.
Yeah. Monday night auction.
By the way, I'm going to be elbowing. I'm going to be doing the elbow tonight. That's what I'll do. Hey, how I'll greet people.
What about the bow?
What if you took the took the stage in a surgical mask as a gag?
Thank you very much. Hey, how about scrubs? How about big fat man scrubs?
I'd love it. That'd be great.
How you doing, everybody? We'll be back. I'll tell you all about that and more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hello, friends. Jeff Goldblum here. How are you? Yeah, you're great. I know you are. You're looking at me like that. Listen, I love to listen to the Mike O'Mara Show on my Alexa, but I'm scared of it. Yeah, I'm scared. It makes me nervous. It's like it's watching me. But really, if you're not as scared as I am, well, first of all, congratulations to you. And tell Alexa to play the Mike O'Mara Show, and Bob's your uncle. Still terrified. Jeff Goldblum checking out. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. My kid at the bus stop today says to me, Dad, today we're learning about matter, gas, solid, and liquid.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
6 years old. Wow. Anyway, my kid is always thinking. Kids are born innovators. They love exploring, learning, creating. So why not inspire them to do just that? A KiwiCo subscription is the perfect way to nurture the budding explorer, engineer, or artist in your life. Michael loves his, and it's even fun for dad, too.
Hey,
KiwiCo creates super cool hands-on projects for kids to make learning about STEAM fun. That's science, technology, engineering, art, and math. Each box has all the supplies needed for that month's project with easy instructions and an educational magazine so the learning continues. Designed by experts and tested by kids, you'll love it. This is so good for children.
The best.
It really is. They learn. They have a blast. They look forward to it. KiwiCo is a convenient, affordable way to encourage your children to be anything they want to be. No commitment, and you can cancel anytime. For our listeners, go to kiwico.com/TMOS to get your first month free on select crates. That's kiwico.com/TMOS. Every day counts when it comes to making a difference, so don't miss out on this amazing opportunity. Again, go to kiwico.com/TMOS and get your first month free. That's kiwico.com/TMOS. You going to love it. Before I tell you about my auction anxiety.
Oh, sorry.
I know you had that ready to go. Let me just turn that down for a second, right? Because I wanted to say a few words about a friend of mine that we lost over the weekend. And this was, they don't make guys like this, and they won't anymore. Tommy Giacomo was the maitre d', general manager, CEO, grand poobah at the Palm Restaurant in Washington, D.C. Longtime listeners of the Don and Mike Show will know we reference Tommy all the time, had him on the show. Tommy was just fantastic, and we actually had my my second wedding's rehearsal dinner at the Palm Restaurant where Tommy came over. I tell a great story about that that I'll share with you maybe on the bonus show because it's too dirty to tell you here. But Tommy was a bigger-than-life guy. Don and I celebrated a couple of our contract deals downtown at the Palm. I brought Catherine into the Palm when she was 10 weeks old. in front of Tommy. We had ratings parties at the Palm Restaurant downtown throughout my career that were legendary. I've always been accused of breaking the urinal at the Palm, but I didn't. It was Dennis Reese. But anyway, it's...
Let it go, man.
Oh, my God.
Modern Washingtonians don't know the power status of the Palm, say, 20 years ago. Right. It was the place to see and be seen. Jack Kent Cook was a regular there. Mick Jagger went there when he was turned away from another restaurant downtown. It was the place.
I believe it's still the place. And Mike, you talk. I've never lived in that world or that circle. And I remember as a listener hearing these stories. 3 weeks ago, I had lunch with one of my friends from business school there, and he saw three CEOs walk in while we're just sitting there. Having lunch,
and a lot of that is owed. A lot of that was owed to Tommy and the way he set the table. I mean, figuratively,
to be put
amazing.
On the wall at the Palm Restaurant in Washington D.C. And I remember when my face went up there was one of the great
big deal
big deals of my career when I saw it there. And I would always make a point when I would go in there to make sure people saw where I was for a long time. I remember that guy, General Norman Schwarzkopf.
Yes.
I think we were under General Norman Schwarzkopf.
I believe you're right.
For
a while. Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm still there. Probably not. But I mean, it was such an honor. It was so much fun. And he was, he had a voice like this. Hey, guys.
Hey.
A big smoker. Big, big smoker. And was like, that contributed probably to his death at 73 years old. He was retired down in St. Augustine, Florida. Tommy and I stayed in contact till a month ago. I had a little exchange with Tommy, and he was loved to play the horses, and was just an all round great guy, and loved doing what he did. Loved the Don and Mike show, and really was a big supporter, and continued to listen to my show, not only after Don, but through the podcast, too. And that was cool for me that he was still tapped into sharing stuff with me. I'd share it with you now, but it's personal. Very cool.
Was there anyone better at making you feel like you were a rock star or the person that you brought to the Palm was
everybody.
Probably a lost art.
Yeah, you don't see it. Yeah. It's so good.
The one of my last memories of the Palm was, I don't even know if Tommy was there at the moment, but was when Carla surprised me in D.C. by having both my daughters at the Palm. For my birthday, and it was just a really big deal. She knows how important that was. Just a bigger than life guy. And listen, you know what? As someone who has been on the receiving end of things written in the Post, look, everybody has a past. And Washington Post, that's a bio and an obit for Tommy. And talk about his troubles with the law, where he had, Tommy had some issues with cocaine in the 70s and 80s. And, that was just a time and a place as far as I'm concerned. He didn't need to devote five paragraphs to that. But at least at the end, they said the guy that prosecuted Tommy, and by the way, he was acquitted, was the same guy that used to frequent the restaurant after the fact. That tells you all you need to know.
Yeah,
but that's snarky. Watch it. They did the same thing to me when I got canned. Which sucked. And
everybody was doing blow in the 80s.
Yeah.
Everyone was doing blow in the 80s.
The aforementioned Jack Kent Cook. I mean, everybody.
Yes. But he was such a bigger than
kidding.
I can tell really quick the story.
Yeah.
That I'm sitting there at my rehearsal dinner. I got Father Harlan, an Episcopal priest, and my 80-year-old mother sitting with me. And Tommy comes over and says, "You effing guys." and I said, "Tommy, I'd like you to meet Father Harlan, the Episcopal priest, and my mom." Oh, and he puts his hand on the priest's shoulders and goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, Father. Jesus Christ, I had no idea." That was the man. I've told that story
for
that many years. It's fantastic.
I love it.
Really good guy. So tonight, coronavirus, get into those groups of people. I got auction anxiety, Oscar. I've got the, I got the vibe where I got to
go. But you don't have your big shoes shined yet?
Well, there's going to be a TV boy that's going to be the MC.
Oh,
so
that's him.
They're going to bring me in for the auction. So that's
him to come forward and show his weaknesses, and then you can come up and sweep up. You'll be
fine. Well, he'll be thinner than me.
Be prepared for him to call out because he's being called in for breaking news.
That's true.
So be prepared.
It's fun. But put on the clown shoes, and I just Look, you know what I fear when I do these things? When I host an auction, and by the way, it's for a wonderful children's educational center, Gargiulo Children's Educational Center down here in Naples, Florida, which is providing an after-school center for these wonderful children of the migrant workers. By the way, you want to know where you get your citrus fruit, where your oranges come from? It's human beings, okay? Mm. There's a human side of this, and they live in very, very tough conditions, and these kids, it's a second home to them where they get fed, they get tutored, they get to come here and hang out, and it's a marvelous organization that I am so proud that my friend Oli hooked me up with Mary Asta, who is the director of this center, to be able to do this. And all I want to do is do a good job for him. And I always fear the recipients, the people sitting out there being mean to me, that, you know, who's that fat clown that's up there doing it?
No.
I just hope they bid. I already have the number in my mind of what I want to get for this, and we'll see what happens.
What's, so another one happening tonight. Is Carla going?
Yeah, she will be on my arm, but I'm not sitting with Carla.
Yeah, but Carla's
sitting at a
separate
table. I'm at the head table.
It's even next better,
to
Mike.
TV boy.
Let Carla, if there's no one bidding on something, let her be the first bid.
Yeah, plan. No,
that's a financial. That's a financial challenge for me right there.
She's not going to win it.
No, she just got to get the water rolling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm looking.
I've had plants before.
Yeah.
Look, you got
to
bid on me.
By the way, I read the remarks and I read my intro. So my elaborate intro tonight for
who do you have to thank?
Who do I have to thank?
Usually they give you a bunch of thank yous.
Oh yeah.
Oh well, that's there too. But I mean, my intro is what I'm more concerned about because of my ego.
What's their intro?
So the intro will be read by TV guy?
It'll
be
by
read
TV guy.
And
yeah.
How does it go?
Please welcome Mike O'Mara from The Mike O'Mara Show.
That's great.
Seems accurate.
No, it's not great.
You don't like that?
Not great at all. No, I don't. I mean, I wish it was something more, for Christ's sake. That, you know, what do you mean you don't like that? Here's Oscar Santana from
The
Mike
O'Mara
Show.
That's what we do.
How about Oscar Santana, recipient fellow at the Roger E. Smith
Time
School
and place.
Of Business?
They don't care about that on auction.
Yeah, but you know why? And you know why? Why don't they care about it? Why don't they answer the
dance,
question you just
clown,
said?
Dance, clown, dance! Sell our stuff and get the F off stage.
Raise the money.
That's it. I'll let you know how it goes tomorrow. Right. You know.
How could it go anything but great?
I hope it, I'll take some drugs. Anyway, we'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need right here on The Mike O'Mara Show.
It's March. There's lots to celebrate. St. Patrick's Day, the big basketball tournament, and the 2020 Olympic Games, which start in about 130 days.
But let's circle back around and have a sidebar to discuss the March item with the maximum return on investments, birthdays.
Whether you're having a boss birthday
or you're trying to keep it tight,
the perfect gift isn't in a bowl on top of a refrigerator. It's a TMOS bonus show package.
Listen, people, when you take a helicopter view of the situation, it's a synergy of TMOS. Leveraged with an extra hour of humor brought to the table.
All it takes is a clickety-clink when you take a digital trip to MikeOmaraShow.com.
At the end of the day, you can incentivize your laughter and have a core competency of giggles with this iteration of comedy.
And you have access to the entire bonus show library. That's over 37 dozen, cousin. Because if you miss a little, you miss a lot.
And when you circle back around to use best practices,
but he's also not using them correctly at times, which is even worse.
Pony?
Yeah, that's right. And that's all.
That was the longest promo ever.
It's a satire.
Who called, Mike? Yeah, you got to retire that guy. What's wrong, Mike?
What's the matter?
What do you think's the matter?
You don't like the promo?
I'm looking at you directly in the eye through the camera right now. What do you think's the matter?
Well, the promo? You didn't like it?
I'm asking you, what do you think's the matter?
I don't know.
We're going to have an after show.
All right,
show
I want a new guy. I want a new guy.
Come on,
I want a new
quality control guy. Read the room.
Oh, it's the promo was great.
Just because they did it doesn't mean you have to play it.
I love the promo. It was excessively well written.
You're an ass kid. anyway, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
A man
by Zappos.
Featured on that wants to sleep with Mike's wife.
You can absolutely feel that spring is in the air. I'm just talking about quality.
Oh,
I'm over here.
Hey.
I'm over here.
I thought it was
adultery. I'm all for everybody getting a trophy, Rob. But for the love of Christ, I'm trying to feed our families here.
Okay.
You know, just a little modicum of quality control. Just a teeny tiny little bit. Just a tiny little bit. All right?
Understood.
Set down. Say no occasionally. edit, you know? I mean, not that be, I know you love to be everybody's friend, but for the love of God, hey, all right, I'm over here. This sounds good.
Valid point.
Jeez, I was off the mark. I thought it was adultery.
Welcome back to it. No, it was not that. It wasn't that at all. Dirk, if you're offended by that, you can sleep with Carla. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by Zappos. You can absolutely feel that spring is in the air. Have you updated your wardrobe for the warmer weather? You'll need new knee pants, fresh white spats, replacement garters, and more than likely a new ascot in silk or another lightweight material so your neck can beat the heat. Well, good luck with that, because Zappos doesn't stock pantaloons, spats, garters, ascots, or even petticoats. But they have everything else you need for a kickin' spring wardrobe. Zappos has everything in every size, from Pony to Rob. They can fit anyone, boys and girls alike. This is the 20th year that Zappos continues to offer over 1,000 trusted brand names to help millions of customers create a long-lasting wardrobe that they love. Support us both by accessing Zappos through our website. Zappos.com provides fast, free shipping, free and easy returns, 24/7 friendly customer service, and a 365-day return policy. Thank you, Zappos. You are our favorite, even if you don't sell jodhpurs. Well, I forgot what jodhpurs are.
They have their like baggy tops and tight. Horsemen would wear them.
Horsemen.
Like horsemen. Old like, horsemen of the 1920s horsemen. Would wear them. Yeah.
News. Always an adventure. You get through one show without my blood pressure going up. Anyway. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Of all people, Senator Ted Cruz could become the first famous person to be diagnosed with the coronavirus. He's taken the responsible step of self-social quarantine to make sure that he doesn't infect anyone else. Ted interacted with a person at the Conservative Political Action Conference a couple of weeks ago who has since tested positive for coronavirus. He said they had a chat and then shook hands. This happened roughly 10 days ago, and the incubation period for the COVID-19 is believed to be up to 2 weeks. So Ted is going to go home to Texas and chill out for a week or so. Thankfully, he is not experiencing symptoms yet, and medical officials have told him that the odds are extremely low that the person passed it to him. But he's doing it anyway out of, quote, an abundance of caution. Well, that's good. Should be doing that.
Yeah,
yeah, but does he need to put out a major press release about it? He wants to be noticed.
Yes, when you're Ted, do that.
Yeah.
President Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence did speak at CPAC. But White House officials said there's no indication either were in close proximity to the infected person.
Right. Don't you believe that the president and vice president should be the least, I guess, exposed to anything like this, regardless of who it is? Because their interactions with people are probably less.
You mean today? Now?
No, in general.
In general? Maybe in general I agree with you, but right now, but knock yourself out. Keira Knightley says getting naked in front of the camera used to be something she was completely comfortable with if it made sense for the plot, but she feels differently now that she's had two kids. In an interview with the Financial Times, she said she never did anything she wasn't okay with, but she wouldn't be comfortable doing those same scenes today at age 36. Quote, I'm really happy with my body. It's done an amazing thing. But I also don't want to stand there in front of a whole film crew. Adding, quote, that the nipples droop. It's not only because she's getting older, though. She says the whole dynamic of nude scenes is different now that everything ends up plastered on the internet. Here's her quote. Used to be that you do a sex scene in isolation with the film and it would make sense. And maybe a paper would put it somewhere, but that would be it. However, now it gets manipulated and ends up on porn sites. Mm. She said she just feels differently and she uses a body double to do her nude scenes.
Good for her.
And, the body double is also an actress that's famous in some television shows.
Really?
Chrissy Metz is her body double for that.
She doesn't feel different anymore? She feels just the same?
Absolutely. Huh. The Charleston River Dogs are a minor league baseball team in South Carolina, and they're associated with the New York Yankees.
All right.
And they just announced a fun promotional night to promote orange juice and also tie in the O.J. Simpson murder trial.
Oh, no.
Here's their plan. Here's the brain trust that you know, loves sports.
Mike, the minor league ballparks love to stir up the action. They like to keep it fun.
They sure do.
Right.
Here's the plan. The plan was to have fans act like a jury and vote on various orange juice related topics throughout the night. Do you prefer pulp or no pulp? They also said fans would get a free OJ trial t-shirt when they showed up, adding that, quote, if the shirt don't fit, you must see if we have a different size. What? I mean, you just sometimes you just can't even conceive
you can't.
The stupidity of people. These are people that run a small business.
Mike, it's an OJ trial.
This year marks the 20th anniversary of the trial, so that's why it was on their radar, if you want to call that. They've already canceled it after some major
people died.
Yes.
People actually died.
Too soon. Way too soon.
If the shirt don't fit, try another size. I picture them in this little dingy office. I'll go,
that's so great. And there's on Twitter?
There's some intern saying, but that doesn't even rhyme. Shut up. It's great.
It's just so dumb. Anyway, with the coronavirus, we've been talking about it all morning. Hand washing has been a hot topic. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about it on the show. I didn't want to jump the gun here. Here's a question. Do you really need soap? And does washing with just water even do anything? The answer is it's better than nothing, but most people don't really understand the science behind how soap works. I didn't. I'm glad to share this with you.
Please. Can't wait.
This is important. Here's why it's so much better than just water. There are two essential ingredients in most soap: vegetable or animal fat, and lye, also known as sodium hydroxide. Instead of killing germs, soap removes them from your hands, and it's very good at it. That's because germs tend to stick to the oil and grease on our skin, and water alone won't get rid of that oil because they don't mix. But soap likes both oil and water. Soap molecules have one end that wants to bind with the water and another that wants to bind with the oil, so they can get in between and bind with both at the same time. In other words, soap sticks to the oil molecules where all the germs are and allows the water to wash them off, which is why it really is worth the extra few seconds to use soap, because it does a much, much better job.
Science!
Science!
Love it, right? Love it. That's science. Great.
I like that. That's a little nugget for you.
Complete
Thank
sense.
You. Mm-hmm. I just saved a life.
Thank you.
And now a little something something. Last week, a British website called Which, with a question mark, that's kind of like our Consumer Reports, asked experts what condiments you should store in the fridge and which ones you should keep in the cupboard.
Oh, I can't wait.
People on Twitter were shocked by the experts saying that ketchup should not go in the fridge.
What?
Now a big debate has broken out. The article says, quote, there's no need to keep ketchup in the fridge. Not only does it contain vinegar, but tomatoes are naturally acidic, and this helps to preserve the product in a room temperature condition. So why do so many of us put it in the fridge? One of the doctors in the article said people can keep it there, quote, because they prefer a chilled taste, but otherwise it doesn't need to be refrigerated. But millions of amateur doctors on Twitter disagreed, and there are plenty of people who can't believe anyone would store their ketchup outside of the fridge. Now, Rob Spiewak, as people should know, he has a new method of doing it. Well, it's not new. You've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
He stores his ketchup in his belly.
Mike, and it never goes bad. Never, ever, ever. Naturally acidic environment.
We will take a break and come back with the aforementioned Rob Spiewak and the Audio Vault right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hi, Dirk.
Cake and cookies. Rob and Katie.
Hey there, this is Katie from the Cake and Cookies Show. On this episode, find out where I've been, the special way Rob likes to show his ass all over Leesburg, and we answer all your questions. Tune in for this bionic episode of Cake and Cookies.
It's the Rob and Katie Show.
Now, who was that gentleman talking there?
That's Charlie Burney sitting in for Katie Forbes, because she did the show, but her jaw was really killing her, and she didn't want to do a promo. So she
I thought that said Charlie. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. With the coronavirus on everyone's mind, the demand for yellow fruit is sky high. Mm. So it's time to make a return visit to Oscar Santana's Banana Cabana.
Yeah! Oh, I love this.
This is great.
With a new location in Santa Ana. If your planner has you in Santa Ana, then plan to land at Oscar Santana's Banana Cabana, home of the new flannel banana bandana.
Nice.
Buy the flannel banana bandana and get a free can of Fanta as tasty as manna. Maybe you need a little something for your Nana or Eric Banya. or Roseanne Rosanadana. How about a gift certificate to our other banana stores in Susquehanna, Indiana, Savannah, Louisiana, and Hannah Montana's favorite location, the Oscar Santana Banana Cabana in Texarkana. And if you need a little something extra for all the bananas and Joannas on your list, then buy a bonus show at yes. MichaelMaraShow.com. Just click the Oscar Santana Banana Cabana. Just click the Oscar Santana Banana Banna. And it's off to the races.
Banna.
It's your passport to the
passport.
TMOS bonus show. Buy it now before Oscar turns his attention to nectarines. Boo. Let's open up the audio vault for today. This is, what the hell is this? This is Monday.
The 9th.
March 9th.
March 9th, 2020. Thank you, Bert.
All right, we've talked about the coronavirus. And again, I don't understand why people.
Oh, happy birthday, Rob.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. We had a lovely text
tell
exchange.
Tell Oscar I said happy birthday to him over the weekend.
But publicly, it shows
weekend.
You're a human being and you love the people you work with.
Oh, that's, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know Oscar's always managing my PR. Rob's birthday was yesterday. Tomorrow, can you tell us what you did on your birthday weekend?
Absolutely, but I think the big story tomorrow is the birthday was really sort of overshadowed by Shanice, the robot baby.
I saw the picture of Robert mm-hmm. III with Shanice, the robe Shanice.
It was great.
Shanice, like from Uncle Buck, is that what it was?
I believe so. I think the name came with the baby.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Shanice.
My my grandbaby of color.
Well, you know what?
Good
you're
for
right.
You.
Yes,
mm-hmm. Oscar, you have to. We have to do it on the count of three because okay. It is. Maddie, are you there?
Standing by.
Pony, are you there?
Absolutely.
1, 2, 3. Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Happy
birthday!
Nice guy.
Birthday, Shanice. Robot. Happy birthday to you.
Touched. Very touched.
How old are you?
49.
How old were you yesterday?
49.
Let me just share the text that I sent Rob on the day before his birthday.
It was a lovely treat.
Hold on just a second here.
Did you see my post on Facebook?
I did not.
I said, have a boss birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? It was a boss birthday.
It was.
It really was.
I was like, this is perfect. Mm-hmm. He'll understand what this means.
Yeah.
Because he copies and pastes it to everybody.
So Saturday at 3:45, I write, happy, 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 happy.
Then
Rob responds with three smiley faces that say, talk about things you like.
Happy talking.
Thank you.
Talk about things you like.
And then I write back to Rob. Rob and I aren't really normal on the thread.
Fun.
Happy talking, happy birthday talk. Talk about being older now. Rob says, eat some cake and your joints hurt. Happy turkey, happy, happy, happy talk.
Well, I was voiced to text. Turkey should have been happy talkie.
Happy talkie, happy talkie.
Be turkey. Said,
happy birthday.
Text.
And then I write, happy birthday, my friend. Ginger Helfing's post made it sound like your family has corona. What the F is going on? And then you gave me a little update on Julia.
Yes.
And it was chicken strips. I said, ew, that sounds tasty. Well, have a great weekend. Really look forward to seeing you guys on Monday. Me too. Thanks again. So for all of you out there, Oscar's always concerned that when I'm a monster to Rob on the show, mm-hmm. that Rob and I don't have a good relationship.
There's a soft side.
Oh, we have a wonderful relationship.
That was the off-air conversation we had. But you know what? If you hadn't texted me that, mm-hmm. I would have completely forgotten.
Yeah,
that's
know.
It.
But, big deal. 49.
But if you were worried about him, I already covered him.
So. No,
but
also, I'm worried about you.
But it's rearview
mirror
stuff.
You're worried about my image. I understand. Thank you for protecting me.
It's rearview mirror stuff. I mean, the birthday's over. It's no big deal. But I appreciate it. I love that you texted. I love that we got to, you know, have a little happy talk between us.
Happy dog. Happy dog.
Mike is such a monster.
No, he's not a monster. As a matter of fact,
yell and scream about the promo leader.
I think my favorite thing.
Now, Jim Amato, send him another message. It's going to be a long, long night.
I remember, history. Mike, I sent you actually the song Happy Talk to wish you good luck in the tournament. And you replied via email simply, ha, 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 ha. That was a highlight for me. I loved it.
What is it about that song?
Well,
I think
happy.
We know what it is about.
Happy talky, talky, happy talk.
I like it.
Talk about things you like to do.
Dear.
You know, Mike, you've got to have a dream, because if you don't have a dream, how will you know when your dream comes true?
Mm. That is from what musical? Just so
that's from Hamilton.
Hamilton. It don't make them like that anymore.
South Pacific, Mike. That's from South Pacific.
There it is.
Okay. People are hoarding toilet paper. Why? Why are they doing this?
Yeah, there's nothing to do with the pooper.
This is in Australia. Two women were going for the last roll of toilet paper. Obviously, only one of them got it.
We're better than this.
We are better than this.
We're better than
this.
No,
we're not. No, we're really not. That's the. I mean, I just don't think we are. God. I think those people that clean out those store shelves of sanitizer are, you know, there are people that could get by with one and take 20.
Do you think that
they all go to hell? They're going to go to hell. You're going to be up if there's the man that's waiting for you that makes it. Like, oh yeah, you had your ticket. Remember that nice party you threw for your mother before she died? Yeah, that's great. But then we saw you go into that drugstore. What did you? Yeah, that sanitizer. Yeah, that's in your garage. I'm sorry, you're going to hell now. Yeah, sorry.
And do you think that some of them are thinking I can resell this when things get really bad?
I think people. Literally, just
they're greedy.
Grab more than they need because they're just greedy, horrible human beings, period.
Meanwhile, the NBA has posted the possibility of playing in empty arenas to keep the season going, but not have spectators there.
LeBron, and this is, by the way, this is no need for a panic. This is going to be the new normal for
right.
a while.
For a while. Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah, LeBron James doesn't like the idea.
Play games without the fans?
Yeah.
No, it's impossible. I ain't playing. I ain't got the fans in the crowd. That's what I play for. Play for my teammates. I play for the fans. That's what it's all about. So if I show up to an arena and ain't no fans in there, I ain't playing.
What about
the New York Knicks
W-2?
Have been doing that for years.
Yeah, stay home, LeBron.
Paycheck.
You know?
Yeah.
Paycheck. It's why they're television cameras.
Working.
You know?
Yep. For media, by the way, if you're in the media business, people are like, oh, we can't cover the games. Hello? If you own the television rights, they just went up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's a short. What you said it before, right? This will be over sooner than later.
God willing, this is what's going to happen. And science indicates so.
Yes. Science.
Yeah. And by the way, if it's not over sooner than later, it means it's going to go on forever and we're all going to die. So, you know, plan accordingly.
Hey, got to play it again now.
Oh, tomorrow. Speaking of that. Tomorrow, I really do want to ask you about how your birthday was.
Okay.
And I also will tell you about Carla and my religious painting.
You see, that to me is that's you buried the lead there. That's red hot.
That's red hot news right there. That I'm very excited about. It's on my.
Now, I have to ask you, I know you were brought up in a Catholic household, but you were were you a Catholic enough household that you were a picture of a Pope in the dining room Catholic?
No.
Oh,
no,
but, well, you see, but, I was.
But we were crucifix Catholics.
Oh, really gory ones?
They're all kind of
What makes them better?
My maternal grandmother had one that looked like a horror film.
I mean, they're all gory. Gory. But no, there were different ones. One in the bedroom, one in the. Yeah. And my mom has one that was in her room right up until the time she died, and it's in my son's room right now.
That's a crucifact.
Yeah.
Not a crucifixion.
Thank you.
Let's close with this, Mike. Good news that Dolly Parton is still open to posing on Playboy's cover.
What's the retirement age in America?
Well, I don't plan to retire. I just turned 74. Good. And I plan to be on the cover of Playboy magazine again. See, I did Playboy magazine years ago. I thought it'd be such a hoot if they'll go for it. I don't know if they will. If I could be on the cover... You know, again, when I'm 75.
Are you going to whip out that same outfit with the bunny ears?
Maybe. I could probably use it. Boobs are still the same.
Remember, Mike, the boobs are still the same. That's right.
They've had a tune-up.
That's a tune-up.
Way to go,
Dolly. That's your magic audio ball. Nice. Have a great Monday, everybody.
God love you. That's fantastic. All right, well, it's off to the auction. We'll have some fun tomorrow.
Mike, good luck. Have some positive vibes.
Yeah, happy talk.
Keep talking to your wonderful father. Papa. And, bring us as much insight into this. You will be our resident medical expert.
Oh, I can't wait, Mike.
As we wade through this. And what would be your main piece of advice as we leave our coronavirus-fearing fans of this show today, Oscar Santana?
If you put the mindset of it just being a version of the flu, which is clearly, if you think of it that way, we've dealt with all the N1 or the outbreaks in the past. And if you just wash your hands and take the precautions that we were telling each other to do, we're going to be a safer and healthier society overall.
And if you're sick, stay home. Stay home.
Yes.
And by the way, so it's the flu.
Yeah.
Only 30 times more contagious. Anyway, didn't mean to do that. Sorry.
Talk about things you like to do.
We'll see you tomorrow for Oscar Santana, Rob Sue, and Michael Mayer saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMerriShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.